Let's pray. We do this in full knowledge that this is your heart, that you came down and you went out of heaven in order to reach us. And so please, would you inspire us with your example, with your heart, with your desire to reach people with your incredible love. And would you meet with us today, Lord? Would we hear you speaking? Would we be stirred by you, Holy Spirit, at work in our hearts and minds to bring about your purposes? Amen. So we are thinking today about being outward looking. As we've explored these six foundations all together, the first three foundations has been very much about our life as a church family and about that expression of reaching up. We've been talking about discipleship, about loving one another as family, and about raising faith in the next generation. And all of these things are about our own personal growth, our relationship with God and our relationship with one another, and they've been about our church family life. And the purpose, or one of the reasons why we need to do this reaching up, why reaching up comes first, is that as we do these things, as we press in, what we find is that our relationship with God becomes stronger. We ourselves are strengthened by knowing how much he loves us, by knowing his instruction for how we live, and by being encouraged and affirmed and whatever our age is. And so this is the kind of nurturing environment in which we grow, particularly individual gifts are, and every single one wants to share those things with others. And so it is because we have reached up, we are then able to do the reaching out. Hope and the joy and the spiritual life that we have discovered in Jesus with those who don't yet know him. And so the three foundations, the first three were about that reaching up, the last three very much about reaching out, about being missional and evangelistic, is outward looking. And we need to ponder what that actually means and then decide whether or not we're going to embrace it. And this is not just about the church strategy or the church staff team. It is about every single one of us. Because the church is not the staff team, the church is not the building, the church is all of us. And so what does it mean for each and every one of us to have that heart which is outward looking, to have a mindset which is to be strengthened, encouraged and equipped by him in order that I can reach out and be a blessing and bring others to know Jesus? New Hope Church, it's there in our name, New Hope Community Church. We are here to be a church family with a heart for reaching out. And this is one way of walking an ancient path that's already been alluded to, an ancient path which is shared both by Jesus and the disciples, as we heard in our reading, but also his first few monks and nuns were sent out to England, and many of them arrived specifically here in order to establish monastic communities. They built churches, they built living quarters, and they began to teach teaching in their new neighbourhoods. Their whole mindset was about being outward looking. The Grey Friars of Reading were Franciscans, and they had this especially on their heart, to be alongside people, to share the gospel by working and living alongside those people who needed to know him. And so we have many ways in which we can connect with this ancient path and walk the way that Jesus himself walked, by having an outward-looking mindset. So let's look at our passage today. We see here Jesus sending out his disciples. He prays for them and then he sends them out with his authority and power. And I think this is really significant because most of the time we tend to shy away from being outward looking or being proactive in mission and evangelism, because we operate, and I say this from my own conviction of heart, we operate with this fear mindset rather than the faith mindset. But Jesus, of this passage, and you might want to have it open in front of you, verse 1, Jesus says, when he had called the 12 together, he gave power and authority to drive out demons and cure diseases. And then he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal those who were ill. What an incredible sense of frightening, fearful task ahead of them. And yet the disciples were so inspired by Jesus' example. They were so fired up by their relationship with him, by their faith, by having witnessed and seen him do these things. And to think that he had prayed for them, he had prayed over them. Lord Jesus had said, I give you my power and authority to drive out demons and cure diseases. The fire door just closed and the chairs made a quite loud noise. But, you know, there is something in that, isn't there? Like, God is here. God is excitingly giving us the same task. And he has already prayed over us. And he has promised us that he has given us his power and equipped us for. He's done it already. He has said that we have his power and authority. And so why is it that we struggle? Why is it that we are fearful about sharing our faith? Maybe we're frightened that if we share our faith with our work colleagues, we'll cause offence. And so we play it down or we're cautious about that. Or maybe we have problems with our neighbours or we'll face rejection from our friends if we say or do the wrong thing or we don't express it in a way that's relevant for them. Perhaps we're fearful about getting it wrong or saying the wrong thing. And so most of the time, if we're honest, if I'm honest, we blend in rather than being this missional, fearless people who operate out the power and authority of Jesus Christ. But we need to remember and remind ourselves that we belong to Jesus who died and was raised in order that we would have his authority to pray and to teach and to build his kingdom on the earth. And so our first task as we seek to be outward looking people is to believe that we do have the authority of Jesus. That he has given it to us. Live, work, pray and speak in his power to impact and transform friends, community, whatever it is that Jesus prompts us, and that he is it as he guides us. Now, that's really important that we are doing so prayerfully and only as the Holy Spirit is prompting us. That's not to say that we all go out and do constant battering or Bible bashing, but as Jesus prompts us with faith, believing that we have his authority and power. We can see incredible things happening as we reach out in his love. And so then verses 3 and 4, as we move on through this passage, Jesus says to them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirts. And whatever house you stay in, simply stay there until you leave that town. Now it might seem strange as we look at this passage that Jesus tells his disciples to take nothing with them, to simply rely on the hospitality and kindness of those that they're going to share the gospel with. But I think this is also really significant for us. It prompts us to consider what our methodology in reaching out actually is. See, there's a lot of money invested in big name evangelists. Billy Graham, J. John, others have done advantage and having thousands come to faith through their ministry. And that can be daunting because then we measure ourselves against people like that. But God has called and gifted them to a whole ministry of situations. But what we see here is that Jesus sends the disciples initially without any fanfare, fuss, financial investment or big razzmatazz. That's a word I haven't said for ages. Now, there's nothing wrong with the big name, big event things. But what we see here is that Jesus sends a bunch of ill-equipped, minimally trained, penniless followers of him to go and to stay in a community for a few weeks to speak God's love and demonstrate God's power through their prayers and explanation of scripture. We don't all have to be big name gifted evangelists. Every single one of us is minimally trained, sometimes penniless. But with a heart to share simply by getting alongside people. We are all able to pray for our colleagues, to listen to the Holy Spirit, to ask him, you know, what can I speak to my friend? What can I share with my neighbour that will really meet them where they're at? Or if we know that they're going through a difficult time, how can I pray for them? And gives us his insights into how we can be God's words of love or God's acts of kindness or pray powerfully and see God's power transform their life, their circumstances, or whatever it is that they're facing. So it doesn't have to be anything big. The other thing I think we get from these verses is a real kind of two-way mutual expression of the reaching out. I think Jesus, as he instructs his disciples to receive from those that they go to share with, is teaching us this outward-looking mindset. The disciples, on a very practical level, took no money with them, so they had nothing to invest in any kind of razzmatazz. But what they did have was the ability to ask for help, to ask for hospitality, to ask for meals, to ask for washing to be done. I'm not quite sure why not taking a second shirt. I mean, in, you know, heat and temperatures, that can't have been very pleasant for the people they were staying with. But there is this sense in which even the mundane things of washing clothes or other things, they were dependent on their host. They had to rely on that kindness. And I think this season of COVID is forcing us into a similar position where we're dependent in a different way on one another. And that reminded me that way back in the beginning of the year, in January, when we had our week of prayer and fasting, the story of the widow who had to go to her neighbours with all of the jugs and ask them for any oil in order then ask them for the jugs that she then filled with the oil. But that sense of asking our neighbours for help, asking and being humble enough to recognise that we need each other. This seems to have been a really important thing in the last few months. And perhaps again now, as we're entering into a new season, Jesus is calling us again to this humility, as well as reaching out and saying, how can we help you? That there is something powerful in a mutuality that says, you know, could you help me with something? As Jesus does when he meets the Samaritan woman at the well in the middle of the day, he asks her for a drink. And it is the help from her which starts this conversation then, which brings not only this woman to faith in Jesus, but her whole town to faith in Jesus. And so as we think about being outward looking, we need to accept or to engage with the fact and embrace the fact that this is about doing things simply, but it's also about doing things in a way that is mutual. So that we're not imparting some sense of superiority in the way that we expressing this as somehow this will make you self-sufficient. If you follow Jesus, you'll be all sorted. Everything will be fine and you'll be able to cope with life. Because that's not true either, is it? We experience that on a daily basis. And there is something powerful about the humility of coming in need as well as in offering of something that we have to give. And so as we think about what this means for us, an outward-looking mindset means we share our faith simply and in an authentic way to ourselves. We look for opportunities to bless the community and to support individuals, whatever that means in our context. And at the same time, we're prayerfully trying to be humble so that we let them help us too. We reach out in a way that creates relationship and mutuality. And then finally, from verse 5, if we look at that, the passage again, Jesus says, if people do not welcome you, leave their town. Shake the dust off your feet as a test them. Now, this seems a bit harsh, doesn't it? Doesn't Jesus care about them just because they've not received it? But actually, this is a really important part of our outward-looking mindset as well. You see, there's a tremendous pressure on us as Christians that somehow it matters how many people we convert, or it's our fault if they don't believe. We must have said it wrong. We must have not been convincing enough. We must have not prayed enough. But Jesus here is making it really clear that the responsibility of response themselves. That having an outward-looking mindset is not about the number of people who come in or are brought to faith in Jesus. Having an outward look is simply about being faithful to share and to let people make their own choices and decisions. They decide for themselves not to believe or to follow Jesus. Then Jesus tells us, as well as his disciples, that we simply let that go. Instead of feeling our own failure, Jesus wants us to be assured that he is delighted in our willingness to try, in our courage to speak out even when the fear grips us, and in our faithfulness to continue to pray regardless of whether that person has come to faith or not. An outward-looking mindset means we are intentional about sharing our faith and doing good for the community or for individuals, regardless of their response to Jesus himself, and believing that he is. And so then when we get to verse 6, we see the culmination, the fruit of this. Jesus sends out his disciples. He says to go, and they go. They went out from village to village. These early disciples, as well as the monastic traditions, it is obedience to Jesus in going out and sharing wherever life takes us. Ordinary people simply following Jesus' instructions and living with kingdom. And I believe that that is the core of what we are called to do as New Hope Community Church. We have incredible to be an outward-looking church family. Each of us have our schools, our social circles. And so what we're doing at the moment is also praying about not just practical things that we do to reach out. And I believe that God wants to really speak to us. And although we're in a new season and perhaps restrict some of the things that we can do at the moment, our ability to pray God about what we do in the future and how he wants to mold and shape who we are and what we have been doing into something that is fresh and new for his purposes, then we can spend this time doing just that. It's also an opportunity for us to help or creatively build forms of mutuality in our relationships with people in the community that we are trying to share God's love with. And a desire to serve Jesus, to be obedient to him. And so let's take this time now to really pray into that and ask God to lead us, prompting us, to give us pictures, words, other things as we explore what this outward expression and outward looking mindset means for us. Let's pray again. Lord, we thank you that this is nothing new. You simply ask us to be authentic to ourselves and faithful to you and prayerful. And so we pray now, Lord, that we would receive a fresh understanding of your authority and power, which you have, or we would find in you. The understanding that you have already equipped us is there in scripture, is there as we talk with one another. You've put us together in order to give us that limited training, that limited enthusiasm, inspiration, and spurring on. And Lord, I pray that you would now help us to leave behind any fear or anxiety about that, but to prayerfully seek you and then follow, and to try, to simply try, regardless of the outcome. And give us your peace, Lord Jesus, your peace around all of those friendships or work relationships or other things. Show us how it is that you, in your grace and in your goodness, are giving us freedom to be outward-looking people, prompted by you, inspired by the things you give us to say or to pray for those people who don't yet know you. And may we see you transforming us and transforming our community. Jesus, we ask this in your name. Amen.